message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amosa Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
And what Faith Life Conference 2021, rejoice! Glory to God! Hallelujah forevermore! Amen forevermore! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Please help welcome someone next to you. Say you're welcome to Faith Life Conference. God bless you. Give them a gift. God bless you. Smile. All right. Amen forevermore. Amen forevermore. So I'm delighted to have you all for Faith Life Conference 2021. You're all welcome in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah forevermore. Glory to God. They're already giving me signal for time. Praise God forevermore. All right. So this is the morning session for Faith Life Conference. Hallelujah forevermore. So that means we're going to be having evening session by 5 p.m. I have a good news for you. Daddy is around. Glory to God forevermore. Amen forevermore. Hallelujah. Say this after me. I have understanding. My mind is illuminated. Today, I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly affirm that I'm a doer. I'm a doer. I'm a doer. And I'm blessed indeed. Oh, glory to God forevermore. You see, we have said it again and again in all of our teachings that there are no words in the Bible that is omnibus. In other words, there is no particular word that means the same thing across board. So, and what that simply means is that context always tells us what a word means. And you can have 1,001 examples. For example, faith, for instance, is one of those words with several nuances in the Word of God. So, you have faith in Hebrews 6 as a doctrine. You have common faith used by Peter, referring to the believer. And you have faith, again, what we call the saving faith. In Ephesians 2:8, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God. No man should boast. He's talking about the saving faith. Again, in Romans 10, from verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now shall they call upon whom in whom they've not heard, whom they've not believed. How shall they believe except they hear? Then in verse 17, it says, faith comes and comes by the hearing of the word of God. So the faith in context, again, it refers to the teaching of Isaiah about salvation. So it's a saving faith. But you see, there is also such a thing as the mountain-moving faith. We're talking about tenacity. We're talking about the charismatic faith. For instance, in the book of Luke 18, you're going to see Jesus was talking about, he was given a parable about a woman who was insisting that a judge, a wicked judge, to avenge her of her adversary. Now, she has a right, and she wants her right to be enforced. So she kept on asking the wicked judge, avenge me of my adversary. And the Bible says the wicked judge said, even if I don't want to respond to her plea, because of her frequent coming, so that she would not weary me, I will avenge her of her adversary. In other words, I'm going to ensure her right is given to her. Now, when Jesus was done with the parable, what did he say? He said, look, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith? So Jesus refers to that woman's insistency, tenacity as faith. So faith in that context, of course, is not a saving faith. It's not a faith as a doctrine. He is talking about the mountain-moving faith. He's talking about the never-give-up kind of faith. He's talking about the charismatic faith. You see that often in the Gospels. You see Jesus talking about, like the Bible reading that was in the book of Mark 11, says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed without cast into the sea, and he will not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. He shall have whatsoever he says. He shall have whatsoever he says. Can you see that? So that's what we're talking about. You see, a vital truth you must know as a believer is, if you require a change of any kind, it's going to be by faith. You have to initiate it. I want to get you off of this common cliche of, man, I'm waiting on God. You're waiting on God? Really? Many times when we say we're waiting on God, the reality is God is the one waiting on us. If you desire a change of any kind, in your finances, in your health, in your family, whatever it is, in whichever way you desire a change, most of the time is God waiting on you. Turn your Bible to Psalm 115 quickly. Let me go right into the word. In Psalm 115 verse 16, the Bible says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. So you see, God has leased out this earth to men. And what I'm trying to let you know is this, God is waiting on you. If you desire a change of any kind that you've ascertained in the word of God, God is waiting on you. And I want to make a statement that might sound a little bit not too popular, but it's the truth. I don't care whether it's not popular. The truth is, heaven needs your license to effect that change for you. God is not going to do anything here on earth without you and I's permission. Someone say, what? What do you mean? You mean God? God don't need nobody's permission. You know, there are those who preach the sovereignty of God and then they drag it out of proportion. And there are those who also preach the will of man and drag it out of proportion. They are both wrong. You have to understand how that the sovereignty of God doesn't in any way affect the will of man. And you see, you also have to know that, you know, one of my great mentor, T.L. Osborne, makes a statement. He says there are two prayers God will never answer or that will never be answered. Number one, praying about what God already did for you. Number two is praying about what God expects you to do. For example, when Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, he told them to roll away the stone. So they did the possible so he can do the impossible. Glory to God forevermore. So, first of all, you have to get this clear that you see, if you're going to effect a change of any kind, more often than not, God is the one waiting on you. In the book of Exodus 3, we saw an example, for instance, in verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down. You see, when I was reading the scripture, when I saw where Jesus, the Bible says, I am come down. God says he's come down. So the next thing I was expecting is he was going to go to Pharaoh's palace and scatter up everything. After all, he's a sovereign God. But no, we didn't quite see that about God. The next thing we read was that, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out that land unto a good land and a land unto a land flowing with milk and honey unto the place of Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Verse 9 says, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come on me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, you see, God now is about to start negotiating with Moses. I mean, he's come down, but he had to negotiate with Moses. Why? Listen, write this down. No spirit can do anything on earth without man's permission. As a matter of fact, animals have a right to function on this earth than spirits, disembodied spirits. You remember when Jesus was casting out the devil in the body of the man of Gadara? They had to plead that at least let us go into these pigs. Why? Listen, even God, listen to me, the Holy Spirit can't do nothing without your cooperation. That's why in order for him to enforce the will of God, he indwells you and I. And that's one of the prophecies of salvation. He says, I will take away the stony heart and I will put the heart of flesh, metaphorically speaking about an easily entreated heart, and I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statue. I will cause you to walk in my statue. Can you see that? So God wanting to enforce his will on earth, he has to live in you. Think about this. God was going to save men and he had to be man. You have to understand how powerful you are as a man on earth. Interestingly, the most mind-boggling fact again is you have God living in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So you see, You have to know this. Look at this in the book of Matthew 18, verse 19. The Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." You see, original rendition says, "Whatsoever you allow on earth, heaven allows." Hey, do you understand? In other words, you're legislating from this earth, but your office is heavenly. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, whatsoever you allow on earth, heaven allows. Whatsoever you disallow on earth, heaven disallows. In other words, heaven is waiting on you. So many times when I'm waiting on God, He's an all-time God, He can come at His own time, brothers and sisters. Listen, most of the time, God is the one waiting on you to effect the change. I remember listening to Barak Kennet E. Egan, I even read in his book, alright, he was having a vision with Jesus, an open vision. There are several kinds of visions. We have dreams, we have spiritual visions, that one your senses as the walking, you just see by the Spirit. Then we have trance when you have a sleep after a week. Then we have what we call, open vision, where none of your senses are suspended. So he had an open vision with Jesus. And so there is this little demon, taking the shape of an elf. That's a small monkey. And the monkey was, just dangling in between. Jesus was giving him some vital information about his ministry. And, Egan was listening intensively. He wants to, take note, so that he can affect them in his ministry. But there's this little demon elf just making noise. Yakitiya, yakitiya, yakitiya. That was the noise he was making, and it was, emitting some kind of smoke. So, Brother Egan couldn't hear what Jesus was saying very well. So, in that vision, Brother Egan said he was angry with Jesus. What's that? Can't you see? Why don't you take this thing away? And Jesus replied, Brother Egan, and says, "I can't." Then Egan says, No. That means this is a fake vision. This is Jesus. If this is Jesus, you can't say you can't. Say you don't want to. He says, "No, I can't." And then he now says, "Give me a scripture for this." Then Jesus began to show him that, you see what? The authority has been given unto you. I won't do it for you anymore. Egan got angry, and Brother Egan says, in the name, that elf just wind up a little bit, fell on the ground and kept quiet, and the smoke disappeared, and he was able to hear Jesus. Listen, God is waiting on you. Many a times you're talking to God when you ought to be talking to the situation. He's waiting on you. Look at verse 19. It says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." What an assurance we got. Let me give another simple example. In the book of Acts 12, the Bible tells us that James, the brother of John, was apprehended, and right there in scripture, we saw him executed. Look at it. "Now about the time Herod stretched forth his hands to vex another the church," verse 2, "and he killed James, the brother of John, with sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." Think about that. He saw that the Jews were happy at how he executed James. Now again, he took Peter. Then verse 4 says, "And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers." Four quarters of soldiers simply means sentinel. That means they are 16 in number. Four quaternions, that means 4, 4, 4, 4. So they are running a shift to guard him. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people to do what again? To kill him. Verse 5 says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison." But, somebody say but. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The Bible says, "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Listen to me. Was God present and still omnipotent when James was killed in these first two verses? And you know the story, right? Peter had a supernatural jailbreak. So what happened? They prayed. So that takes me to the next point I want to take. It therefore means that the most potent way to give God or to receive heavenly intervention or to give license to heavenly intervention is prayer. Now, there's a little issue even in this passage I just read that I'm going to show you now. Somebody say prayer. Say it again. Say it again. Listen. E.M. Bound says the summary of the Christian life is in six-letter words. P-R-A-Y-E-R. Prayer. Prayer. Now, but you see, when it comes to prayer, the challenge is a lot of people are praying. Now, I just want to share two things, two dynamics about prayer that you get carefully. Don't forget. Oh, I didn't tell you what I want to share with you. Okay. I want to share with you effecting a change by faith. 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 Now, you see, the first thing I want you to know about prayer is I realize that many times, of course, there are a lot of issues with prayer, but many people are actually, you know, just praying for social reasons. Many people aren't actually praying with conviction. In fact, I make bold to say, 80% of people praying most of the time, when you see a large sum of people praying, 80% of times of those people praying are not actually praying in conviction. And I'll tell you why. After they pray, ask them, how far about what you prayed about? Say, well, I'm still hoping on God. I just hope it's going to happen. Hey, but you just prayed. I think, listen, as simple as this thing is, it looks like most believers are yet to understand the potency of prayer. And there is no better place to effect faith than in the place of prayer. So we're talking about effecting a change by faith. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about prayer. The very incidents I gave you recently, let's look at it. In the book of Acts 12, I want you to see something. I want you to pay close attention about this. In Acts 12, the Bible says, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in a prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. For him, that means a whole sum of people were praying. But like I told you, many times when you see a lot of people are praying, 80% of the time, they are just praying for social reason. They aren't praying with conviction. It's usually few, a handful that are actually praying in faith. And that's why you see, the factor of faith in the place of prayer is a vital thing I need to share with you. This is Faith Life Conference. I want you to get out of this meeting from today and begin to pray with so much conviction. Having ascertained the will of God from the word of God, I want you to go on your knees anytime you pray with 100% assurance that God has heard you and you've gotten the answer. Look at this. Verse 6 says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and the keepers before the doors kept the prison. Verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Verse 8. And the angel said unto him, guard thyself, bind down thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. Verse 9. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he was seeing a vision. He thought he was dreaming. Verse 10. Now pay close attention now. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that led unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So what was the expectation of the people of the Jews? That he'll be killed, like the way James was killed, right? Now pay attention now. Let's go. Verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together doing what? They were doing what? Good. Now, please call attention now. I just need your attention right now. Verse 13. And when Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to Achan named Rhoda. That means immediately she heard a knock, she just went to listen. Now look at what happened. Verse 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. You understand what happened here? It's like you're expecting somebody. Maybe your dad traveled for 2 weeks and he's back. Those of you whose parents are, military officers, police and all of that. Your dad had he got a posting somewhere. And then now he's back and you can hear his voice for gladness. You're so joyous. You were too overjoyful to even open the door. And you go to break the news. Daddy is back. Now, look at what happened. Verse 14. And when he knew Peter's voice, he opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Verse 15. And they said unto her, thou art mad. They said unto her. But they've been praying. Now, look at it. It is, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. Do you understand? They were praying. Now the answer has come. But they were saying, what this testimony of this woman is that? She was saying, no, you are mad. Do you mean Peter? Peter? No. But they were praying. So why were they praying in the first place? If they weren't expecting a result, I tell you, they were praying for social reasons. There ain't no single faith in that prayer. Thank God for a few ones like Rhoda. That's why I tell you, 80% of the time, people have not gotten these faith things completely. Like the woman in the book of Matthew 8, he says, if thou will, thou canst make me whole. He is assured of God's ability, but he wasn't sure of his willingness. And thank God, Jesus never left him in the dark. Jesus said, I will be thou clean. So having ascertained the will of God, when you go into the place of prayer, listen to me, look up. That's why I tell people, one of the most brilliant practices before you pray is learn to meditate on the word of God and let it propel you into prayer. There is a need for conviction in the place of prayer. See, this is ABC of faith. Alright? I'm not teaching something big. I want to share you simple things that you can use for your life. Can I have a big amen to that? The Bible says she consistently affirmed that I heard Peter's voice. And I said, okay, we'll hear you. We've heard you. I think maybe it's the angel. What that means is, it's his angel. That means it's his ghost. That means he's dead. It's just his ghost you saw. But they were praying. Verse 16 says, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. The word astonished there means they were confounded, like they marveled, like, really? And I'm like, why not? You were praying. Glory to God. So there are so many people. I think I did a teaching one time, I called it sobriety. I said, a lot of people, their heart is disconnected from their mouth. And that's what Jesus called hypocrisy. You see, and I can even stretch it, a little bit out of the context of this teaching to help you know. That's why we have people in this generation, they can be chewing gum and praying. They can be cooking beans and be praying. They can be, somebody's liking posts on Instagram and he's still praying. You see some people, they are watching movie, some people's threshold for, in quote now, sexual content is so high, they can be seeing movies like Game of Thrones and they will pause it, they will still go for prayer and still come back. And I'm just like, how do you do it? It's simple. Their being is not involved. It is true, the Bible tells us that when we pray in tongues, our mind is unfruitful. Listen, he's talking about the origin of the words. He's not talking about involvement. It is true that the utterance is not from your mind. But it does not mean that your mind should be wandering about when praying. That's why we close our eyes. Ligora, Shelamana Hene, Letomo, Makrama, 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 Leroza, and his pressing phone. You're not praying, you are playing. What is microwave Christianity? Charles Spurgeon says, and I quote, he says, the living God must be served a living way. He says, let your service to God flow in you like the blood, as warm as the blood in your veins. For a living God must be served a living way. He says, when it comes to, listen up, look up, look up. See, number one point, conviction. And when you are convinced about a matter and you go to the Lord in prayer, there is something you have to know about how God responds to some prayer. I'm coming to that very soon. Because many times when we talk about answer to prayer, many times what we don't know, listen. And that will take me to the next point. I'm talking about dynamics of prayer. Number one is conviction. Number two, there is such a thing, now don't miss this now, as the supply of the Spirit. And I don't want you to miss me now. There's something called the supply of the Spirit. You see, many times, often than not, in the place of prayer, you will know the specific thing to do, the right thing to do that will bring about the change. I've worked in this again and again. I'm sharing with you dynamics of prayer. There are times, you know, you're facing a situation, you go to God in prayer, you pray through, and then you will come up from that prayer, you will know what to do. You will know how to do. You will know when to do. Sometimes it could just be the right word to say, and the situation changes. And it's about how many work miracles. I can give you, for example, there's a man of God I love so much, Dr. Creflo Dollar. You know, he was coming from college, and then he met, I think his nephew or something was staying with them, and a coin of some kind, it went into the ear. And, you know, she was doing like this, and the coin was ringing in the air. If you are a medical inclined person, you know that will require surgery. Am I right? To remove. I think from the place of prayer, he knew what to do. He took a jar of water, turned the ear this way, poured water into the ear, and then he blew air into it, and the coin flew out from the next ear. That's working of miracle. You see, in the place of prayer, a lot of Christians don't pray through. We've lived those things, and our unlearned parents, they call it push, right? Pray until something happens. You know, these are teachings in symbolism. You see Jacob wrestling with an angel. These are teachings in symbolism. It's called praying until you get a note of victory. You pray through. You come out from that prayer, you know the right thing to do. You know the next step to do. It's called the supply of the Spirit. Glory to God forevermore. In Philippians 1:19, the Bible says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He's requesting for their prayer, and he knows, he said, look, I know I'll be saved from this turmoil, this fear of being killed, you know, here and there. He now says, by the supply of the Spirit. There is such a thing as supply of the Spirit. That's what I call it. When, you know, I call it spiritual stratagem. You just know what to do. That thing comes out. You know, you're praying. As you take out time to pray, you're praying in tongues that way. You're praying that way. You're taking out time to pray. You just know what to do. And guess what? Let me warn you. You don't make a practice of it afterwards. You don't make it a religious activity afterwards. Let me give an instance. In Judges 15, verse 15, this guy was there, and then he had 1,000 soldiers around him. They want to take him down. The Bible says, and he got up. His name is Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And what did he do? The Bible says, he looked here and there, and he saw the jaw of an ass. And he took that jawbone, and he slew 1,000 soldiers with it. Now, the Bible tells us specifically, he says, when he was done, he threw away the jawbone. If it is nowadays, they will go and hang the jawbone, the miraculous jawbone, and then you'll be paying $50,000 to come and see it. Yeah, there's a church in Abuja where people go to swim to get healed. $50,000. And that's why, look up. That's why if you see the, look up everybody. That's why if you study the miracles of Jesus. Now listen to me. I work miracles. Do you understand? Are you hearing me? I'm not just a theologian. I'm telling you. I do this week in, week out. I heal the sick. I know what I'm talking about. You can have 10 people on the sick line. 2 people had growth. I told one, gone. And the other, I have to lay hands. The person fell down at the power, as he said, bring him out. Why? Listen, supply of the spirit. You know specific thing to do for specific situation. Are you listening to me? And you get this thing. See, prayer furnishes you with the right spiritual energy. Energy. Oh, you just, this is how God gets things. Don't trust. You know what to do, the specific thing to do for the specific situation. In the place of prayer, you get to know. You could just be, you just know who to call. And then the person will say, hey, I've been looking for your number all this while. I'm telling you how this thing works. I needed something very urgently for the ministry. And then I was praying. And I got to the point, I just, somebody's name just came to my heart. It was my friend in university. And the next thing, I turned on my phone. When I was done, I just cut off from the prayer. The next thing is turn on your data. I turned on the data. The next thing I saw was a chat from him. Man of God, Alpha. And that was the end of the story. You just know what to do. You know the right thing to do. Listen, one of the man of God I respect in this country that is give. See, when talking about charismatic ministry, he's a one-man mobo. He said, and I quote, he said, a friend of his came to visit him one time. Now, here is it. He had this little group. Now, this is a man that organizes crusades. This is a man that, he was even going to have a healing school in Canada. This is a man of God. And he said, he was having a growth. And he's feeling the pain. And he could, anytime he said he has shouted, he has prayed, he has done all sorts, but the growth won't go. And next week he was going to be in Canada for healing school. And he was already seeing himself on the operation table. He says, and that his friend came, who is also a minister, and they began to talk. He says, as they were talking, faith was built. That's why faith has friends. You have to know who you're rolling around with. Are you hearing me? It says, faith was built. Then of a sudden, he knew what to do. Supply of the Spirit. He says, come, follow me. He took him to the garage, gave him the key to his new Mercedes. He says, as the guy drove it out, he just noticed the good disappeared. Don't forget, now you can understand why Jesus said that there are many widows in Zarephath. None was the Son of Man sent to except that woman. That means that if any other woman who is a widow actually gave his first meal like that woman gave, that woman was on her own. Oyo, do you understand? Now, how do you explain Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda? I saw people there. This way, this is a rendezvous of broken humanity. And Jesus walks to one man alone. And he walks away. Why? Supply of the Spirit. When you know the specific thing, and listen, and if you don't understand this as a minister of God, you won't work miracles consistently. That's why we can see people line up for healing. You say, healed. This one will touch. This one will say, out. This one, why? Why? It's not just by style. It's by the Spirit. And these things are strategies you get in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer. Glory to God forevermore. For example, for Jeremiah. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1 verse 7, it says, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all where I shall send thee, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt say. The same thing with Ezekiel. He says, he put his mouth in his mouth, and he says, say unto this dry bone. He was literally giving him words to say. So you know the right word. This thing you get them in the place of prayer. This is talking about dynamics of prayer. How do you explain? They were going to bring down the wall of Jericho. Listen to me. And God gave them a supernatural strategy. Listen, it doesn't make any sense. They were to go around. Do you know what the wall of Jericho is? Theologians told us that 2 lorries can stand on it without stress. In fact, the house of Rahab was built on the fence. In those days, fence was used for territorial covering. And yet they were going to go around it. How many times? 6 times. And on the 7th time, they would just shout. Hey, that's a dummy thing to do. And the Bible says the wall came down. You just know what to do. How about this in 2 Chronicles 20? 5 kings and kingdom came against the children of God. And guess what the strategy God gave them? He said they should put singers in the front. How do you go to war with singers? Are you kidding me? You put singers in the forefront? No, you put your best soldiers in the front. But they were just singing, and when they got there, the Bible says those enemies have helped themselves to kill themselves. When they got there, they saw corpses. Supply of the Spirit. Oh, supply of the Spirit. If you learn this, you will be an effective Christian. You will become so effective that there is nothing coming your way that you will be perturbed about. And I'm going to say, but I'm going through a lot. Listen, I'm going to show you an example of Jesus here. He could be going through whatever it is. Let me tell you this. There was one time Jesus too was having so much emotional pressure. That's why I tell people, I said, prayer is the best antidepressant. You know that old song that says, what needless pain will be here? Because we do not carry it all to the Lord in prayer. So whatever it is, whatever change you want to effect. I mean, look at Jesus. Let me show it to you. Look up. Open to the book of Luke, everybody. First, let's go to the book of Matthew first. Let me just read Matthew's account for you, so that you will get the context. I have just 12 more minutes. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the son of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. You know, have you heard people say things like, you know, boy, I'm so stressed, like I feel like I will die. That was what Jesus was saying here. Just, I feel so sorrowful. And look at what happens. Then said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. 39 says, and when he went into Father, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, Dr. Luke actually wrote something that is a little bit debatable, because he happened to be the only one who scribed it. That his sweat were as blood droplets, great droplets of blood. Now, I did a personal research on that. I'm not a medical student, but I found something similar to it. In fact, a particular theologian called Phineas Dick actually said that it was actual blood that came out. And so I tried to see, is there any medical explanation for this? And I found it. The name is hematidrosis. Look at it. Hematidrosis. Hematidrosis. Let me read to you according to Wikipedia. It says, hematidrosis is a condition in which capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat gland ruptures, causing them to exude blood, occurring under condition of extreme physical or emotional stress. Another quotation says, severe mental anxiety activates the sympathetic nervous system to invoke stress fight or flight response in such a degree as to cause hemorrhage. Hemorrhage means bleeding of the vessels supplying the sweat gland. It has been suggested that acute fear and extreme stress can cause hematidrosis. In other words, Jesus actually was having this. Notice he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. And Jesus knew the antidote, prayer. Prayer. No Christian should remain depressed when you have the tool of prayer. That's what Paul says. He says, if you are anxious about anything, you don't have to. He says what? But with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And he told us what will happen. He says, and the peace, oh glory to God. Do you understand what I'm saying now? That means the way to ease off emotional pressure, you're going through some pressures that is getting, you know, giving you some kind of emotional breakdown, and you're like, nah, I can't take this anymore. Pray. Pray through. When you pray through, you will come from that prayer with so much peace. The Bible says the peace of God which passes understanding. That means a peace that you can understand. And listen, peace is not absence of troubles. It's just tranquility in the time of troubles. Amidst troubles, you just have peace. You can't explain how that peace comes. It comes in the place of prayer. Pray. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Hey, my boyfriend broke up with me. And then now you are now. Is it as terrible as Jesus' own? This is not why he could be a perfect high priest. He's not the type that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. So this is very simple. I have 8 more minutes. Very simple. Number one is understand in the dynamics of prayer, there's a place of conviction. Ascertain. Don't forget what James 1 says. James 1 verses 2-8. It says, look, verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraideth not. The word upbraideth not simply means he finds no fault. In verse 6, the man says, but let him ask in faith, not in wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wind of the sea, tossed to and fro. He now says, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. So why is this man in James 1 not receiving? Because God didn't give? No. He didn't receive. And how do you receive? By faith. So the issue of faith is something very important. And we're talking about charismatic faith. Are you listening to me? We live in a generation where, in dumb generation, somebody got married for 5 years, no baby, and then he starts saying, I don't know if God exists. No, God lives for you now. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's okay to read the story of Sarah and say, wow, woman of faith. It's okay to read the story of Abraham that, oh, listen. Jesus said, Jesus, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? If he was talking about the saving faith, then Jesus is contradicting himself and a host of several scriptures. I mean, Paul was in prison to the church in Philippi. He enforced and said to them that he's so sure of their salvation. Philippians 1:6. He that began a good work in you shall complete to the day of... I mean, a host of scripture talks about how that the believer cannot lose their salvation. So he's talking about the saving faith. I mean, we have passed from death to life. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, if we believe that God raised Christ from death, even so shall he raise who we believe too. I mean, a host of other many scriptures. So Jesus will be contradicting himself. In John 6:38 to 40, Jesus himself said it. He says, I have come to do the will of my Father. And this is the will of my Father, that everyone that believed in him and died, he will raise him back the last day. So he couldn't be talking about the saving faith in the book of Matthew 18. He's talking about the tenacious faith. The mountain moving faith, as Brother Kenneth Hagin calls it. I like to call it the charismatic faith. Never give up faith. The bulldog faith. You know a bulldog? When a bulldog gets his mouth and stand, he's going to let it down. He's up for it. He's going to hold it there. You're not getting, not throwing the towel. You're going to stand your ground. You're going to insist. Do you know what makes a lion to become the king of the jungle? Because he's the biggest? No, because he dares. Don't forget he has a small tail, little waist. How could you stand and see an elephant 10 times bigger than you and you dare to bring him down? Always daring. The righteous is as bold as a lion. We're talking about the mountain moving faith. Mountain moving faith. Never give up. Glory to God forevermore. See, and that's what Faith Life Conference is meant for. Is to school you, bring into the school of bravery. Everyone God ever used to start an enterprise of denominational impact in scriptures, he took them in the school of bravery. Over 300 times scripture says, fear not. You think it's a joke? God had to tell Joshua, he says, be courageous and be very courageous. He had to encourage him, God himself. In fact, he took Abraham out from his cocoon and said, count the stars. The guy was telling this, he was helping him, he was taking him on the school of bravery. Because let me be honest with you. Somebody who does not know so much, but is brave, we do so much than somebody who knows so much and is not brave. See, all the great heroes of faith, God's generals, listen, theologically, I say this with all humility, theologically, they don't know so much as we do today. They don't know so much. In fact, many of them, if you watch, especially the blue one, that God's general, the blue one, you will see the mistakes of many of them. Like the one that called himself Elijah. What's that? They did a lot of mistakes, but these guys wrought mighty things in righteousness. Just yesterday, I was seeing the picture that, you know, one of them built. That one that called himself Elijah. Look at the mistakes. These guys, they don't know. They just little light, but so much courage. Even people in the world, you see somebody who tie one knife, just smutting on this thing, you say it's charm. Or it's just simple incision, and you will dare any great thing, believing that he is secured. Hey, how about you? You have the Spirit of God in you. Look, did you see how David summarizes the whole entire major miracles in the Old Testament? In Psalm 104, did you see how he summarized it? He says, mountain, what did you see that make you flee? He says, River Jordan, what did you say that make you shift back? He was talking metaphorically. Then in verse 7, he says, tremble thou, O head, at the presence of the Most High. In other words, David was saying, what made Elijah to part the Red Sea? What made the children of Israel to pass through the Red Sea? The mountains were going, you know, skipping like ram. He was saying, look, all those major miracles you saw were only having respect to the presence of God. And look up, what was the presence of God today in the Old Testament? This movable tabernacle. Movable tents. And Paul borrows the same language in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, this is our earthly tabernacle. In other words, we are moving. The way they were moving the tent, all right, it was figurative of the man in Christ. Don't forget, Solomon later built a permanent temple. He was talking about us, because that temple they were moving around is subject to tears and wears. So now he says that the same way they were moving that temple and it was subject to tears, it was subject to, you know, breakdown at the time, you know, rain falls on it until they built a permanent one. In the same vein, you and I, we carry God's presence everywhere. Even though it is in this body that is likely to die. That's why scripture says we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Oh, shout amen, somebody. Glory to God. We have Pastor Heiss in the house. Come on, let's celebrate Pastor Heiss. Thank you so much. God bless you. Celebrate you. Glory to God forevermore. Can you see that? So we have this treasure in heaven, place of the Bible says. So this is it. Number one, conviction. The place of faith in prayer. The number two, supply of the Spirit. Supply of the Spirit. You know what to do. The right thing to do. That will bring the right change at that spur of moment. That's why many times you see Jesus will tell somebody, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. But he doesn't make a practice of it. And that's where religion comes in. A simple instruction you receive at the spur of moment in the place of prayer, then you start making the whole church do it. What's that? Glory to God forevermore. Were you blessed? Have you been blessed? Let's do a recap. Very simple faith teaching, right? Yeah. So number one is this. If you want to effect a change, you have to know it's going to be how? By faith. Somebody say by faith. Say it again. Say it again. Yeah, it's going to be by faith. We're going to effect any change. And faith is best expressed in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer. And we're talking about prayer, I've shown you. The first thing you must settle in the place of prayer is faith, conviction. I've shown you example that people can be praying, but they are just praying for social reason. Like what we saw in Acts 12. When Peter was released, why were they shocked? And the lady that came to bring the good news, they say she's mad. The Bible says when she kept on affirming, what did they say? They said, maybe it's the ghost. But why were they praying? That tells you they were not expecting that what they prayed answered. That's why Jesus said, He spoke about confession in 23 of the first of the book of Mark 11 before talking about prayer in verse 24. Because you see, there must be first a conviction. Otherwise, you're just praying for social reasons. Glory to God forevermore. Then secondly, you got to learn to take a place, take a time to pray until you get the supply of the Spirit. Oh, it's so wonderful, brothers and sisters, when you're faced with a challenge and then you go into the place of prayer and you pray. There's this confidence with which you wake up from that prayer. I haven't known what to do. Listen, let me tell you one thing. There's something about working of miracles. When you get a supply of the Spirit and you get the job done once, just once, you will always want to do it again and again. So like I said, stop waiting on God. God is waiting on you. 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 Specific thing at a specific time to effect a specific change. And it's usually very specific. Look, I'm not sharing Fabu with you. I'm sharing with you what I work, all right? I'm sharing with you what I work daily, all right? Glory to God forevermore. All right? What I work daily, that's what I'm sharing with you. You want to effect a change? You must get to that place where you pray until you get the supply of the Spirit. Supply of the Spirit. Amen forevermore. Thank you, Father. Victory I have in Christ. Lift your hands with them. Just pray in tongues. Just be seated. Just lift your hands and just pray in tongues. Just be seated. Lift your hands. Just pray in tongues, somebody. Then we close. Manta labakasto sufru korabo shalamante leprekestis. Sunumon gronitefto sufru kote leprektekisto suturubo korabahatis. Mantele frecto costo suto roboco shabahatis. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to practicalize what you just learned right now. It's time to pray now. Listen, angels are here. Whatever it is, talk to the Lord, to God in prayer. Makato soprata karata karabada gadaha. Manto robo conscepto prokiteli bahade. Longroni temno proctisi fracto combrotis tefto sute. O samanani cambrotis tefto subracata bahaya. Nendo robotes kiteli brahade. Talk to the Lord in prayer about it. Talk to the Lord in prayer about it. I'm giving you just 5 minutes. Come on. Intense prayer. Come on. Fervent prayer. Come on, pray with conviction. At least for the first time, if never in a long time. Put this teaching to work now, 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 now. Now is the time. Now it is. Come, Rotobra Hadi. Now it is. Now it is. Now it is. Kila mataraba kontrop do prekitelebrehede. Oh, samanama nimo kombra hate kite lebehere ditus. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes, they're buckling before you. Those challenges are buckling before you. Kila mahata kaya bada hate negosa. Ranto roboko stepto suteli brate keda ha 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 ha. Maletongle kit no prati sem no pronti tabaha. L'entropokos kitere bada bakaya bada. Som no pronti tenebra. You have 2 more minutes. 2 more minutes. Come on. Fervently. Kambro tu stof to subrakete lebehele. Rone panta.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 0785 66. We celebrate you.